ask you to imagine something for a moment. Imagine one person sidling up to another person, cupping their mouth and saying, "Have you heard that Charlie is an honest man? Don't tell anybody." This is not to be passed on. Have you heard that Bob Frost is one of the most giving persons in this church? Please, don't tell anyone.
Now, that's bizarre.
You don't, it seems, gossip about good things.
But they're true.
Some things don't need to be gossiped about because they're so obvious and evident to everyone. But the fact of the matter is that the telling of tales always seems to be the telling of something inappropriate. Now, flip that over for a moment. There's a difference between gossiping and communicating. See, if I gossip, I'm just communicating. But if you think about it, that's how the gospel gets spread. When one person now whispers, maybe they whisper, maybe they speak out loud, but when they talk to another person about the gospel, you're sharing news. Gossiping is sharing news, not good news, a la the gospel, but it is sharing news, something that people think another person wants to hear. And it is sad to say that it is something that can become a deep habit in the lives of people. This, along with other kinds of habits, can be something that is so strong that a person can barely be in the presence of another person who has this habit, that is, can barely be in the presence of another person without saying, "Have you heard?" Now, I think that we pass on information. I remember one way in which this is done, which is, I think, in some ways the most insidious way to do it. I have something to share with you that we can pray about. Have you ever had that approach? And that sanctifies it. Because, after all, I'm not just sharing a tidbit with you. I'm, after all, giving you a prayer request. Have you heard? We need to pray about it. Have you heard? I think that whatever the motive may be, or however the packaging may be, in terms of communicating information that could be hurtful or harmful to another person, that all falls under the category of gossip. There are other words for it. In fact, I began doing a list of synonyms, spelled S-I-N. Oh, no. Synonyms for the word gossip. And here are some interesting synonyms. Talebearer. Whisperer. Tattletale. It gets worse, don't worry. Rumormonger. Now it gets worse. Slanderer. Defamer. Maligner. Here's a great old English word. Calumniator. Calumny is a terribly insulting, false thing to say about someone. Anyway, it's an old English word. Asperger. It's sort of like asparagus. No, asperger. Have you ever heard of casting aspersions on someone? Well, that just means it's an insult that it's not a favorable thing to say about someone when you asperse. So all of these words, whether they're familiar or not, mean gossip in one form or another. The fact that we have so many synonyms, the fact that we can talk about ways in which we share information in order to cause harm, whether we intend to cause harm or not, all of that is very convicting indeed. I want to share with you something that is from the end of last week's lesson that we didn't get to on the tongue. And it relates to today's lesson on gossip. In fact, it relates to today's lesson rather directly, because in Greek, the word for gossip is babble. Talk, 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 talk. That's the actual word for gossip, is babble. And it has the connotation of gossip, but it means, rapid movement of the lips. Interestingly, the book of Proverbs has some things to say about rapid movement of the lips, about a lot of talk. And I'd like you to see what it has to say. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Now there is as subtle a way of saying something as I think I've ever seen it. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Of course, the opposite is he who restrains his lips is wise. Turn with me now to chapter 29 of Proverbs. Chapter 29 of Proverbs. And verse 11. Some people have called this diarrhea of the mouth. That's not a very happy image. All right. Chapter 29 of Proverbs and verse 11. A fool vents all his feelings. He lets it all hang out. But a wise man holds them back. The idea here is, you know, blather, babble, talk, 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 talk. Turn with me now to a passage which says it rather succinctly. And this is in the book of Ecclesiastes, the very next book written by the same author, Solomon. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. You had another medical term last week, I remember, for this inveterate... No. Garbage mouth, I think it's called politely, but there's garbage mouth and there's much speaking. Today we're talking about the much speaking and logorrhea. Okay, well, I'll remember that. Because from the Greek word logos, which means word. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verses 2 and 3 to start with. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. Interestingly, when we open our mouths or when we do anything, it is before God, isn't it? For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Oh, that's an interesting appeal. God's listening. Don't burn his ears. Don't offend God, essentially, is what is being said here. By your much speaking. Verse 3, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. Go down to verse 6 of chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. That's a vivid phrase, isn't it? Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse? And to the passage members of the class showed me afterward last time, in which somebody throws out a remark carelessly and callously and says, oh, I was just joking. And the scripture, that's from the book of Proverbs as well, and the scripture says, please, you know, don't sort of put it out there and try to take the guise of I was just joking. Your pitiful explanation as to why you're saying the things you're saying, and destroy the work of your hands, and you pay the penalty for that. Verse 7, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. There is also vanity. Interestingly, then, pride enters into this situation. I know something. I am in possession of information. And there's a vanity in which, you know, if I have something to share, I am a fount of information. And that becomes, if you will, a status that I can adopt as a result. Well, by contrast, turn to Proverbs chapter 17. By contrast with that, problem of many or too many words. Proverbs chapter 17. Verse 27 and 28. I like this one. This is worth underlining. 27 and 28 of Proverbs 17. He who has knowledge spares his words. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. I think of Milam Farrow when I think of that. Don't mean to put you on the spot. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. I like that. And when he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. It kind of reminds me of, you know, I've never smoked a pipe, and there's some, you know, who favor but I've often, we used to have colleagues from the State University, you know, where and there was this, I was choking from the smoke. They were sounding contemplative and pondering and, you know, wise. Yeah. If a grunt or a groan makes you wise. But what he's saying is, shut my mouth. If you shut my mouth, I'm going to sound like I'm a wise person. At least I'm not blathering in the way that we were looking at in the earlier verses. But there is something to be said about this. Something to be said for this. I'm not going to name any names, but I have had colleagues who will have this problem of running on at the mouth. And my immediate impression is that I have a fog of words being thrown up to mask a lack of self-confidence. If I can talk fast enough and loud enough and long enough, then I don't have to say anything of substance. Whereas if you have something to say that's worthwhile, it's not going to require a multitudinous words. You're going to be able to say it clearly, succinctly, calmly, quietly. And there's a big difference, isn't there, in the impression that is created by someone who is able to measure his or her words and say things that count and say things that matter versus somebody who just rattles on. And you tend to, what happens when people just rattle on, you tend to tune out. That is to say, once it goes on long enough, you know, sound after that. That's, I'm not naming any names, but I've had that experience. Recent. He just paraphrased the verse right in front of us. That's perfect, Joe. Absolutely perfect. Repeat the question. The question is, would you repeat the question so I can repeat it for the sake of the tape? Why give people doubt about whether you're a fool, because if you speak up, you can remove all doubt on that question. Something along that line. He does it better than I do. Okay, that's good. We have a perfect quotation from Mark Twain. Keep silent, appear ignorant, and opening the mouth, remove all doubt. Very good. Chapter 21 of Proverbs. That's a good passage. Chapter 21 of Proverbs. Chapter 21 of Proverbs, verse 23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. So the idea here is that much speaking causes trouble. Measured speaking, controlled speaking, less speaking is much wiser as a policy and as a practice. And that is related to the issue of gossip, because the word, as I said in Greek, for gossip is much speaking, babbling. If you're going to talk that many words, some things that are not helpful are likely to come out. What happens when we guide our own tongues? What can happen when we guide our own tongues? What often happens when we guide our own tongues? Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. This one is so ironically true. I mean, I've had this experience, and perhaps you have as well. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. I don't know if you ever had this experience of someone, in effect, volunteering information far sooner than they need to in order to sort of set the stage or answer the question before it's even asked. I have the situation scoped out. I understand all of this. Please listen. And before you know it, they've said some things that are totally irrelevant. But they demonstrate the fact of that they're in control of that situation. The other idea that's being communicated here is that if your responses are not thoughtful, and that's what this is really saying, if they're kind of automatic, if they're kind of just knee-jerk kinds, accent on the jerk, knee-jerk kinds of responses that you give with your mouth without really thinking through the issues, and you speak too soon, you respond too soon, you respond before you have enough information to respond intelligently, then you're going to put your foot in it, and you're going to look like an idiot sometimes because you have been premature in your response. And that's really what's being said here. It's when we control our own tongues. Turn to Proverbs 15 for the opposite side. Proverbs 15. It's a very convicting book. Now, here's a wise person. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. I think before I talk. As well as looking before I leap. I think before I talk. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. You get the impression here, don't you? Open mouth, insert foot, open mouth, and let it all out is when evil has its opportunity. Whereas if we think about what we're going to say before we say it, make sure that it is responsive to what is being said and not anticipatory or beside the point, then we're going to have a much greater chance of expressing things that matter and that are going to be helpful rather than hurtful. In chapter 16, we see the real way in which a believer should communicate and respond. Proverbs chapter 16, the very next chapter, verse 1, says, "The preparations of the heart belong to man. I may think through what I have to say, but even thinking through what I have to say isn't enough. I should pray through what I have to say. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue, for a believer, is from the Lord." The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. In verse 23 of the same chapter in Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 23, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." If I am praying it through and thinking it through and pondering what I should say and making sure that I'm really responding to what has been said and I'm not just blathering, then I'm going to contribute something that will be helpful to somebody's life and that will be an encouragement to someone's life instead of something that could be hurtful and harmful to someone's life. And that's really the whole point of it, isn't it? Well, having said that, the commentary about few words versus many words, the commentary upon whether we control our response or whether God controls our response, all of that relates to our subject of today, which is one use of the tongue. Isn't it amazing how many different issues there are that all relate to the tongue? We talked about this last time, which said, in past lessons, we've already dealt with tongue-related issues, haven't we? Anger, self-control, lying, truth, telling the truth, and now today, gossip. What does gossip do? What are some of the harmful things that gossip does, according to the book of Proverbs? Let's take a look. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. There are four major kinds of things, according to Proverbs, that gossip does. Proverbs chapter 11 and the first part of verse 13. Proverbs chapter 11, the first part of verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets. That's the first thing that happens with a gossip, is that they give away stuff. They let people know about stuff that are intended to be secret. And by the way, I've had this experience so many times I can't even count it. Now, this is just for your ears only. Please don't pass it on, which is almost a guarantee that it will be. But we read here that a talebearer reveals secrets. You're given it in confidence. You're given it in secret. The person who is able to keep a confidence is a rare and valuable person, a valued person. If you know someone in your life that you can share anything with, and you know it won't go any further than that person, man, you are blessed. I've had the opposite experience so many times, I must admit I get wary. I get a little bit cautious, simply because we have too many loose lips. We have too many people who are anxious to share information, because in a way it establishes a relationship with you and another person. If you are a source of information and they come to value you as a source of information, then you've bonded yourself in that kind of way with that kind of practice. Isn't that a funny way to get bonded? But that is a way to get bonded with another person. And so I continually have to feed people information in order to maintain the relationship. And what do I feed them? Oftentimes I feed them secrets. People have shared things in confidence with me, and so I share those things inappropriately. Chapter 20 of Proverbs. And verse 19 says something that's sobering. 20:19, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Well, we just saw that a moment ago, and then it says, therefore do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. And the flatters with his lips is one translation. Another one is one who is a gossip. Do not associate with one who moves his lips a lot. Flatters with his lips is one interpretation of that same phrase. Moves his lips a lot, or is a gossip, or flatters. Don't associate. Why? Well, for one thing, if you get passed on information, you can be sure it's going to get passed on. Have you not heard it said, if you don't want everybody to know, don't tell so-and-so. But don't, please, no hands. No references. But it is well known, isn't it? Oftentimes, who the loose lips are. And so the idea is, if you really want it to be kept secret, you don't tell certain people because they love to share information. Don't associate means don't not only spend a lot of time with, because you're going to become an accomplice in that process, but also you're going to find yourself in hot water because you're going to pass on information that you don't want to have passed on. Not only do they reveal secrets, but oftentimes what is revealed is of a very seamy sort. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll come back to Proverbs in just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is an interesting passage in 1 Timothy, because what it deals with is young widows in the church. I don't want us to stereotype. I don't think it's intended that this be stereotypical, but in fact that's the context in which this is dealt with here in this passage. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Having to do with the younger widows in the church who don't have anything to do. And it says, verse 13, and besides, they learn to be idle. This is whether or not the young widows should be put on the list of those that the church supports because they're widows. And he's saying the younger widows should not be put on the list because, in fact, it may lead to other problems. And this is one of the problems it may lead to when they're being supported and they have nothing to do. Verse 13, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. The idea being that the kind of information being passed on could be rather salacious. It could be something that is not nice, not only hurtful, but something that is seamy, very, very low in its character. That can be done. That can be said. Not proper to mention. That's the same idea that I was just trying to communicate a moment ago. So not only revealing secrets, but revealing, if you will, dirty laundry. And that's kind of the implication that's being spoken of here. Second thing, besides revealing secrets and even not so pleasant secrets, something else not very happy about this. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Second issue that results from this matter of gossip, besides spreading information. Chapter 18 of Proverbs and verse 8. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body, or the innermost parts of the body. What's that saying? The information is treated as something delicious, something to be feasted upon, Why? Because what it does is it cuts deep. It's especially interesting because it cuts the other person being talked about rather deeply. It goes down into the innermost part of the body, into the chambers of the body. It cuts deep. When it is not only a revelation of information, but when it is a cutting and a cutting down of another person. And that's essentially what we're saying here. The second thing that gossip does, besides giving out secret information, is that it injures character. It can hurt reputations. Turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. There's an actual command in the law pertaining to this whole subject. In Leviticus, chapter 19, this is when it comes to injurious information being passed on that could hurt people. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, a command is given. 19:16 of Leviticus, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. And then it talks about not doing something that could harm your neighbor. And you shall take a stand against, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Isn't it interesting that God is taking a strong stand against hurting other people with our mouths? I am the Lord. Understand that they're my children. They're my kids. Please don't injure them with your mouth. You're not to go about as a talebearer. It's forbidden. In Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah. Chapter 9. Obadiah, of course, was the prophet who spoke to the last generation of those in Judah before the kingdom was overcome by the Iraqis. You know, that's when the Iraqis took over under Nebuchadnezzar, was the time when Judah fell. I hope you remember that from your history. Jeremiah chapter 9. The society had descended to the point where everybody was talking about everybody. I'm sorry, you want the verse? Chapter 9 and verse 4. Sorry about that. Chapter 9 of Jeremiah and verse 4. Everybody was talking about everybody. That's how far the society had gotten, or how far down the society had gotten. Everyone take heed to his neighbor. Watch out for who you're talking to. And do not trust any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant. Except if they can knock you off, they're going to knock you off. And every neighbor will walk with slanderers. It's rife. It's everywhere. And it's corrupting the society. And that's essentially what's being... There's a command against it. It is corrupting to the society. And it goes down to the innermost part of the body and the being of a person. When you cut someone with your words, you can hurt them, and you can hurt them permanently. When you put something out there, and then you say, well, I was just kidding. Or you put something out there, and you say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Once you put it out there, it's out there. It cannot be withdrawn. It cannot be pulled back. It's sort of like being in a court of law and instructing the jury to disregard what was just said. I mean, legally, they're supposed to disregard what was just said, but mentally, psychologically, it's almost impossible. That's why that trick is used so often by attorneys, because they want to plant the idea. They want to plant the information, right? So first of all, revealing secrets, sometimes salacious secrets, injuring character, slandering. That's the second thing that gossip does. What's the third thing? Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Loose lips not only sink ships, they sink people. Proverbs chapter 10. And verse 12. This is a subject we're going to deal with in a separate lesson, that is troublemaking, strife. But it says, hatred stirs up strife. Do you know that sometimes the reason people gossip is to cause trouble, deliberately? And the reason that people do gossip is because they don't like someone. And so they talk about the person they don't like. And that becomes the motive for their gossip, is to try to hurt that individual. Hatred. It creates trouble. It not only hurts their character in the sense of how people view them, but it can actually cause the person difficulty. I mean, once a word about a person, especially if it's not a true word, is out there, then it can cause those who have to make decisions about them to make decisions on the basis of false information, and can really hurt that person's whole life. And so I know of situations personally where that has occurred. Surely you are aware of some such situations yourselves. A person's whole life can be impacted negatively as a result of things falsely said about them. Or even truly said, but said with a vendetta-like motive, where the person wants to take true information and harm the other person with it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 26. This is not a happy subject, but I'm supposed to teach the whole counsel of God, so I guess I can't hold back just because it's not pleasant. Proverbs chapter 26. This is a good one. Remember the other one I said was a good one? This is a good one. You write this down, or somewhere. Make a note of it. Chapter 26 and verse 20. This is wisdom. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. What's a vivid kind of a comparison to make? It's like the situation of a fire. Don't feed or fuel the fire, and the fire will go out. So it is with troublemaking. Don't feed the rumors and trouble-causing communication with your own gossip, and maybe you can stifle or stamp out this particular hurtful situation by not causing it to spread further. By